Part 5. The Incredible Depths of Mind. Think imperially. You wonder whence has come the idea that God is mind? Well, it hardly seems to have come at all. It is as old as reflective thinking. You find it here and there in philosophic books as far back as literature extends. Better than this, you find it whenever you take a walk in the woods, or cast a glance into the heavens, or study your own inner workings for a moment. Then it is that you are amazed at the order and beauty that are unexplainable, except as the product of supreme intelligence. The idea that God is mind is as old as the hills. It is the taking of the idea to heart and the putting of it into practice which is new. That adventure was launched scarcely 100 years ago in the Western world, with the result that today people everywhere are beginning to recognize that there is one mind in the world, governing and directing all things and all persons. This pronouncement startles no one these times. It is so reasonable and withal so obvious. How many times have you seen a flock of birds suddenly rise from the ground, perhaps in alarm? The air is full of them. Yet there is not the slightest confusion and never a collision. Why this amazing order? They simply lend themselves to the one mind. Each does not try to assert an intelligence of his own. Right here is an explanation for whatever disorder there is in the world. The willfulness of individuals and of nations. Their determination to have their own way rather than yield to the mandate of all-comprehending mind. Because mind is more than pure intellect, it possesses the higher qualities of soul, such as sympathy, kindliness, and graciousness. There is no hardness or meanness there, no indifference to the human call. Your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of these things, in daily demand, and supplies them. And so it is that Joubert observes, we measure minds by their stature. It would be better to esteem them by their beauty. Now, how is the divine idea that mind is God put to work to ameliorate human conditions? Immediately is it put in action by the individual acknowledging that he has that mind. There is no other. His faculties and his abilities are in this mind and of it. In other words, this mind is his mind. He and it are one, with this tremendous advantage that mind is the one. This acknowledgement is the intelligent prayer which results in an expansion of the individual's capacity for doing things. Lack of courage gives way to confidence and assurance. Dimness of sight or dullness of hearing clarify, because hearing, after all, is understanding, while sight is perception. Perception and understanding are properties of the all-wise and ever-benign mind, and that mind is his. What can he lack? Turning for guidance to this mind, which is so close that it is within as well as without us, is a surer venture than turning to the printed page or to the well-meant advice of friends. Indeed, there comes a time when one has no other resort. he gets beyond the teachers and their rules. What does an Edison have to do with them? They have their place, but they also have their day. You and I should be developing that confidence and insight which encourage us to look into the incredible depths of mind for instruction, having due regard all the time to what the prophets and teachers have said and to what experience has taught. So it is that each of us journeys with a veritable encyclopedia at his elbow. We are learning how to utilize it. Thereby is independent thinking developed. And independent thinking, after all, is not the thinking of the individual. It is the thinking of that mind with which he is identified. All this is not to promote ordinary egotism, but rather to banish it. For one begins to learn true humility the day he recognizes that there is one mind, the mind of the Almighty, and that this mind is his only by the grace of God. Says Sir Francis Bacon, "I had rather believe all the fables and the legends and the Talmud and the Alcorán than that this universal frame is without a mind." Sorry I missed you yesterday. Did not mean to, but somehow or another it happened. Anyhow, maybe I can tell things better in a letter. You know that thinking imperially is a colorful adventure, because thinking is living, and to think imperially is to live royally. That is, to live in the royal kingly way which is round with the richness of existence. There is no such thing as stopping or restricting life. Might as well try to stop the sun from rising or setting. Might as well undertake to put summer in the place of winter. And so it is that life courses through you. It cannot be interfered with in the slightest. It just will act and function, and you are athrill with its warmth and vigor and glory. Everything to the contrary is an out-and-out illusion. It is not even mental. It is not there. And of course, it is not yours. You can stride around now in all the freedom and perfection that anyone can enjoy.